that in the giving of his life, he gave life to us. I want you to listen again to the events that took place on the day that our Savior died for us. I'm reading from Mark chapter 15 and verse 22. Mark 15 and verse 22. And God's word says this. They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. But he didn't take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him, and the written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, then we may see and believe." And those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near this heard, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. See, the primary look of our gaze backward is to see Jesus Christ crucified. So let me ask, do you see the soldiers who stripped him naked? For he hung naked. That's how the Romans crucified their prisoners. It was done to shame them in every way possible. Do you see them throwing him roughly down onto the cross? Do you hear the sound of the hammer as it drove the nails into our Savior's hands and feet? Do you hear the vicious insults of those who passed by, who mocked him, who dared him to come down from the cross if he truly was the Son of God? And remember this, he could have, but he chose not to. Do you feel the darkness that came over the land for 3 hours? This was no solar eclipse. This was a supernatural darkness. Do you hear the words spoken by Jesus from the cross to his mother? "Woman, here is your son," as he indicated towards John. And then as he said to John, "Here is your mother." Do you hear him as they mocked him say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing"? To the thief who asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom, he said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he cried out, "I'm thirsty." And then it is finished. And finally, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, when we come to the table, we look to the cross where Jesus hung. We look back to remember the enormity of the cost borne by him to rescue us. There was no other way. He uniquely is the Savior of the world. Jesus, hours earlier around the Passover meal, said to his followers that his body would be broken and his blood would be spilt to rescue sinners. He said of the bread as he took it, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he took the cup, he said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." But our glimpse backward goes even further. We look back and we see God clothing Adam and Eve as they leave the garden. We see Yahweh calling Abraham to father a people. We see I am who I am raising up Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. We see the Lord establish the throne of David. And we see the Lord of heaven's armies fulfilling promise after promise after promise. You see, looking back thousands of years like this is meant to be a vivid reminder of the faithfulness of God to keep his promise that he made to Eve, that from her offspring a rescuer would come. Every family has their issues, their challenges, even their shortcomings. But I want you to know this. When you receive and believe in Jesus, you're adopted into the family of God. You're born of the Spirit. God is your Father, as we prayed. And Jesus is your Savior, your brother. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, the ever-present companion. Every time you and I hold the bread in the cup, and the bread in our hands and the cup, we look back and remember all that is ours because of Jesus. The God who fed Israel with manna in the desert is the God who satisfies our deepest hunger and thirst through his Son. And so this morning we look back. We remember him. We're in awe of what he did for us. Backward, we look inward. Listen to God's word as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." We look inward in order to examine ourselves. Why? In order that we might not eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner. How could a person participate in an unworthy manner at the Lord's table? By not appropriating Jesus' sacrifice, by not believing in him or receiving him. See, the Lord's table is for those who are in relationship with him, but the Lord's table is also an invitation to a person who doesn't not yet know Jesus. "Come to me so that you can share in the table, in the sacrifice that I made for you." For those of us who follow Jesus for the rest of our lives, we're a construction project that's going to be ongoing. Our characters are being transformed. It's true, when we're born of the Spirit, we become a new creation. But as I said, we're a work in progress. There still remains within us, no matter how many years we've walked with Jesus, old sin habits that are needing to be displaced. Like the hymn writer said, we're prone to wander. We're not under the dominion of sin, but we still make choices of sin and thought, word, and deed. And when we do, we grieve the Spirit of God who's been given to us, and we restrict His presence and His activity in our life. This is why regularly we need to ask God to search our heart and to agree with Him whenever He points out something within us that's displeasing to Him, to ask Him to forgive us and to make us clean on the inside. See, the table gives us this opportunity. As followers of Jesus, we cannot afford to ignore any sin within us that the Holy Spirit would convict us of. That's the warning of 1 Corinthians 11. He said, that's why in Corinth so many were weak and sick, and a number of them had died early deaths. We remember that the mercy of God is great, but when we come to the table, we're also reminded that our God is holy. There was no other way to rescue the fallen race of Adam and Eve except by the sacrifice of the life of Jesus. The offense against God was that great. There's no darkness in the Lord, and He never makes a compromise with sin. And you and I just need to remember when we come to the table, He will not tolerate unconfessed sin in our life. We can be prone to mistakenly think that if God doesn't immediately discipline us, He's okay with our compromises. Read 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and you will discover that the patience of God is great, and His patience does not mean approval. It means opportunity for people to turn from their sin and turn to Him. See, we either confess our sin or we come under His discipline. That's what Paul wrote. You choose. And so I invite you, as we're going to sing and then read Scripture and then sing again, to ask God to search your heart, to deal with anything He points out to you in order that you might come to the table with a clean heart. Or as you ask Him to search your heart, also it may lead you to say, oh God, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior today. See, to look inward is not to get lost in the crowd of your own self. It's an opportunity to see our sin, confess it, and rejoice that it's been nailed to the cross. And reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night.
Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just.
For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire truth in the inner parts. It's there you teach me wisdom.
Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Oh, do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to transgressors, and they will return to you.
Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves. I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness.
As we sing this next song entitled Restore My Soul, use that as a prayer. If there are things in your life that you need to deal with, confess them so that you may come to the table lifted of that burden of sin or the stain of it that you've carried. If you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity to come to Him, to put your trust in Him, to believe in Him, that you might share in the table that represents Jesus. the incredible sacrifice that he made for us. If you'd like someone to pray with you, Prayer Corner is there and someone will be there. Happy to pray with you to receive Jesus. Happy to pray with you as you let go of stuff so that you may come to the table. Restore
my soul.
Seal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you.
Do not delight in sacrifice, for I would offer one. Do not take pleasure in burnt offerings.
The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. And so on behalf of Jesus, I would say it again. If you're a follower of His and you've been carrying stuff in your life that you know you need to get rid of, today's the day to do it. On His behalf, I say, His arms are welcome. Come to Him. And before you would ever come to the table, head to the prayer corner first. Deal with it. Lay it down. Be done with it. And then come in the liberty that only the follower of Jesus can experience when sins are forgiven and they're removed. If you don't know Jesus, again, I would say to you, go to the prayer corner. There are some people there who would love to pray with you and help you to invite Him into your life. And then come. We'll wait for you. We will. We won't pray a prayer of thanks until you've finished inviting Him into your life. And then we can serve you the bread and the cup that you might eat and drink in remembrance of Him. I'm going to invite those who are sharing and helping to distribute the bread and the cup. Tim's going to continue to play, and they will be at the heads of the aisles. You come and to receive, and then just wait until everyone's received. And again, I said, if there's things you need to deal with, head to the prayer corner. We'll wait for you. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. Thanks for your willingness to carry the burden of our guilt. Thank you for the incredible love in which you showed to us that while you could have come down from the cross, you didn't. You stayed there and you completed what the Father and you and the Holy Spirit had planned before the creation of the world, that you would be the one who would rescue the fallen race of Adam and Eve. How do we express our gratitude for life given back that had been lost? We simply say thank you, and we offer our lives as an expression of gratitude to live for you. And so it's in you. It's your body, it's your blood that we remember this morning. Amen. In remembrance of Him. May the Lord awaken your senses that you might taste and see that He is good through this meal. May He use the bread and the wine to cause you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Did you notice the people who came to the table with you? They're different than you. Some are different in age. Others have a different family background than yours. Some work in different jobs, different ethnic background. There are some people here with whom you share nothing in common, but I want you to remember this morning. Because of the cross, all of us who follow Jesus have the same Father, and we worship the same Jesus Christ, and we are bonded together forever by the same Spirit. See, the Lord's table symbolizes the beauty of unity. Look around, really, look around. Look at the people beside you, in front of you, behind you. This is your family. These are your brothers and your sisters. And you will be with them when this foretaste of a meal is swallowed up in the fullness of the marriage feast. I want to invite you to stand as we sing that song that we began with, Rejoice. Good singing. Please be seated. There's one last look. Backward, inward, outward, forward. The Apostle Paul tells us that every time we share in the Lord's table, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We don't know when Jesus will come, but when He does, we will feast on a meal far more satisfying than the bread and the cup we've just eaten and drink. I want you to hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 25. God's word says this, Isaiah 25. On the mountain, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. When we get to that final great meal, the disappointments, the frustrations, the unfulfilled longings, the burdens, the brokenness that we all live with, either all the time or from time to time, they'll be lifted. On that day, the bride of Christ, which is the church, will see her bridegroom, Jesus, and we will know why the Apostle John wrote in Revelation 19:9, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." A week or so ago, we had a marriage celebration of our youngest daughter. It was an awesome party. Good food, great dancing, great music. We celebrated. But that celebration comes nowhere close to the party that's going to be realized at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are those who are invited. We will feast in the city of our God, and we will be satisfied, filled, and nourished forever. Just as every joy in this life is a hint at the fullness of joy in the next, the Lord's table is a foretaste. It's a reminder, there's a better meal coming. I want to invite you to stand as we sing our closing song. The kids aren't back yet. Would you be willing to sing "Oh Glory Be to Christ" one more time? Yes, I'm going to take that as a yes. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Singing. That was so good. Oh, glory be to Christ. That sums it up. Have a seat for a minute because we want to pray for the day camp team. But I think with the kids still being out, maybe could you chase them down, Christy? To tell them to come back because we want to pray for the day camp team. And we need Marianne, who's leading it, to be able to tell us a little bit about it. She's here? They're all here? Oh, they're all coming. So just while they're coming in, while the kids are coming in, hold on, Marianne. So I want to tell you about what we're going to do for the Grace Gardens dedication. At 12 o'clock, we're going to gather over where the swings are. There's a microphone there. There's some thank yous that we want to express. Mayor Tate is going to be with us. There are other community sponsors who've helped in the building of this garden. And so we'll probably be there for 10, 12, 15 minutes. It all depends on how long Mayor Tate talks. And she can talk as long as she wants, by the way. And then there will be an opportunity to have some hot dogs, a drink, there's some chips, there's some cookies. Parents, if you can just help with your children, they get one of everything until everybody's had something. So double fisting doesn't count until everyone's got something in their hand. The other thing is that we'll have a number of guests. And so I want to encourage you, we're the host. And so if you can introduce yourself to someone you don't know, and then in turn introduce them to others. And when you have guests, guests get to go what? First. So we'll allow our guests to go first and enjoy, and then we'll just come along. So thank you for being here. It's an exciting day as we're able to dedicate and officially open Grace Gardens. Marianne, tell us about day camp so that we can pray for the team. There.
So coming into this, I was hoping for 50 kids and praying for 50 kids.
Hold it close to your mouth.
A couple weeks ago, there we go, we had about 32 kids. And so I was saying, okay, God, we're doing this. Bring us some kids. Today we sit at 67 children. Yeah. Which is amazing. We actually had to close registration down for the kids. So I've had a few phone calls and a few people asking to get their kids in. So we've been squeezing more in. And I guess we'll see what happens tomorrow because we start tomorrow at 9. So prayers our way. It's very exciting. And I would like to ask anyone that's helping out for camp to come on up, please. Pastor Rick would like to say a quick prayer for us. And I also want to say thank you.
This is a great crew. Wow.
I think the whole church is up here. Wow. Okay. So initially, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's coming out this week. Nobody can see me, but that's okay. I want to thank everyone that came out and started decorating yesterday. And we'll be finishing up today and stacking chairs. So if anyone wants to stick around for that, that would be great. And yeah, I'll pass it off to Rick.
And you know what, Marianne? We would love to help stack chairs because people doing a little bit gets the job done in 5 minutes. And you know what? Grace Gardens dedication doesn't start to 12 o'clock. We can have this done in 5 minutes. Where do you want the chairs to go? To the side. Over to the side. Thank you, everyone. And I want to say thanks to Marianne. She has worked very, 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 very hard. And the rest of us are going to work very, 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 very hard from Monday to Friday next week. But we look forward to it. God, thank you for the opportunity we have as a church to serve the children of this church and our community through this day camp. What a privilege we have been given. We know from the word that your heart was so tender towards children. For you told the disciples when they thought, hey, let the adults come and keep the kids at the back. You said, let the little children come. And we know that that's your heart for this week. Let the children come. Let them come and learn of their Creator and their Savior. And so I pray for each one of these individuals who's standing here. I pray you would enlarge their heart with love for the kids that they're going to be involved with, teaching or guiding or whatever the role in which they're going to do. Give them a great capacity for love. And Father, we pray that as the promise says, as we wait on the Lord, we'll renew our strength. I pray that the team would experience that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that you would renew our strength, and each day we'd find we would have what we need to serve. And we pray for the kids and their families who come. I pray they would have an awesome week. Pray they'd make new friends. I pray they would learn much about you, and I pray that they would come into relationship with you. For you tell us that we need to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. And so it's not hard. Children can get it, then we all can. So thank you. Blessings on this team, blessings on this building. We would also ask for safety throughout the week. There would be no injuries. And just thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.